track.
I was born bold.
Deliverr, simplify your restaurant's ordering and delivery capabilities. Find out more. Visit deliverr.com.au.
The Worth app makes ordering your workshop consumables and products a breeze. Download it today.
Breakfast with Gary Lyon and Tim Watson.
Great to have you with us on the Monday after Grand Final weekend. Benny Gale, the Richmond CEO, who's done the most incredible job there of driving this football club to the top of the mountain, and they've been there for three of the last 4 years. So we'll have a great chat with Benny. Jordan Lewis to get his thoughts. Sammy Edmund with the trade period kicking off today. So we'll find out the latest of the trade news. And we've got all our calls into the Melbourne Storm. We love what they did last night over the Panthers. Our man Ryan Pappenhausen was a Clive Churchill medalist and also was named in the State of Origin squad. So has his life turned around since he joined us on SEN Breakfast. So we were thrilled with his job last night. He was fantastic. It's a conversation started thanks to Kia. The all-new Kia Sorento has landed, and it's your time. We'll throw the lines open to talk about the grand final, in particular Richmond. It's a great win over Geelong, and just whatever you want, talking points out of that grand final, anything that you want to get off your chest. We put a line through it pretty quickly these days. I mean, we're happy to talk about it forever, but the 17 other side supporters move on pretty quickly, Wispy. They start to think about trade and how they can perhaps challenge. Right now, Richmond will start favourite for the grand final and premiership next year, and I would not, for one, be betting against them.
No, you couldn't do that, Gary. I'm going to ask you a really simple question off the top. If Jeremy Cameron had been playing for Geelong the other night, do you think we would have had a different result?
No, I don't. I don't. But that's a really hypothetical, isn't it? Because if Jeremy had been there for the year and, you know, they changed
the way
they
were. Understand.
But no, the system. It was the system.
They're recruiting him, though, because they believe that he's going to give them a better chance to win the flag next year. And he will be a great addition to that team. But you're quite right about this Richmond system that they've got in place, their understanding, their trust in each other to play like that. This is the great thing about them. To play like that, you have to have enormous trust because they play the ball and they play the circumstances of where the ball is at all times. So they're not thinking, oh, I've got to stay with this bloke. I've got to defend this bloke. They come off their man. It's an instinctive thing. They're all on the same page when they get that going. And in the second half, they just got better and better at better at recognising that and believing each other as a team. But it hasn't happened overnight.
No.
It's been something that's been building for 4 years now. They've had this in place. This just came through too. How good is Shea Bolton? How good is Shea Bolton? How clean is he? And one of the great things that happened for him this year was when the couple of players went down and got injured during the mid-season of the year, they shifted him into the midfield. They gave him more midfield time. He got more confidence in his own game. And he became he became one of the very best players for Richmond.
So the start of the game was interesting. So when you're not there, it's hard. But you're in the studio and we're trying to watch it on telly. So you're looking at matchups and Kolarczyk goes to Martin. And then really early you realise that Kolarczyk was going to follow Martin. So he went up high to the midfield. He went up high to the stoppages on centre wing. And I'm thinking, gee, I don't know about that. And Dustin got him on stoppage a couple of times. Tom Stewart put himself in that as a free player behind the footy, which I thought was a really brave move because that meant that Richmond got a corresponding free at the other end of the ground. That was diminished somewhat by the Vlosten injury, and Stewart was nearly the best, most important player on the ground the first quarter. So Richmond struggled to deal with that. They kept kicking to Stewart. He kept interrupting. The other one was Dangerfield went forward, and we all talked about the matchup. Who was going to go to Dangerfield? It was Broad that went to him early, which was, Grimes.
After half-time, Grimes went to him.
Yeah, but at the start of the game, I'm looking at it going, gee, that's something that we wouldn't have anticipated. So they were all the little things early in the game that I'm looking at, and I thought, that's a little bit different. But then they kicked the first two goals. They settled really well, Richmond, and probably from about the 20-minute mark of the first quarter, I thought Geelong took over. And I thought they controlled the game right up until Dustin kicked that goal just before halftime. As we spoke about earlier, I don't think I've seen Richmond panic with the ball in their back line as much as I did in that second quarter. They were, and this is what makes the victory even better, is that they had no answer. And Geelong's pressure was so good. There was a shot before the game of Boris Enright. And he had Geelong forward line, and he was passionate. I'm thinking, who's that? I couldn't quite see. I'm thinking, who's that giving it to him? And he's the forward line coach, and I'm sure it was about the forward line pressure. And he would have been thrilled because the second quarter, the turnover, the way they won the footy back and got it back inside 50, but it was only three goals. And that was, to me, that was the critical time.
How disruptive, though, was it to lose somebody like Vlosten so early in the game? Because he's a mainstay of that defence. Like, he's a great intercept player. He's a great organiser of their talent. He's a great player in pressure situations. And then we find out that Bashahuli has done his calf as well, and that he's less than 100%. Dalhouse pretty much played a defensive type role on him. That kept him out of the ground. So, you know, up until that point in time, they've got Grimes, who's been taken effectively out of the game because of the way that Rowan is playing against him as a forward. So he can't intercept Mark. They've got Vlosten off the ground. They've got Hooley, who's been almost rendered ineffective as well. But there's still, like, and the coaching that goes around that too, the adjustments they had to make at halftime, the confidence, obviously, they've got to instill in that group of players to go back out there. After you make some mistakes, like, I'm watching Noah Bolt. He made a couple of mistakes in that second quarter, as they all did, you know, under the pressure. And I'm always thinking, okay, how do they recover from that? How are they going to be the next time they get hold of the ball? What are they going to do? Well, Boulder went into the ruck. I thought that was a great move just before halftime to put him on the ball. I know you've spoken about that in previous games, about sort of like the break the glass type move that
they had. Well, just before they did that, though, Revolt was the second ruckman.
He was, right?
And he got exposed badly.
He did. He did.
Stanley had his best moments while Revolt was on the ball. So then they went to Bolter, and that was significant.
That's right. Just before half time, they needed to get a clearance. He won the ball from the tap. He followed it up. He kicked the ball down, and Dusty kicked their goal. But you need that superstar talent, don't you? Like, they needed somebody that was going to be able to do something extraordinary and special. And it was the same guy that we've seen it do so many times. Can I also just say about Reece Stanley? You know, like, I haven't talked too much about Geelong, but, you know, like, throughout the course of the years, okay, well, they've got to get themselves a ruckman, Geelong. They've got to get themselves a ruckman. He's not going to be the answer. He really stood up during these final series. Like, he was outstanding, I thought, against Nankervis. Did you see the first centre bounce, what Nankervis tried to do to him?
Tried to put his knee in his throat?
He tried to swat him with his other arm as well. Like, and I thought, hang on, it's going to be on for young and old. He's just going to smash him in the mouth and just see whether or not he can perform. But he did that. I thought he stood up really, really bravely. And congratulations to him, because I think he has cemented his place there at Geelong and helped build a reputation for himself as well as a ruckman in the competition.
Want to get through these. So did you think Dangerfield was going to get a week or two?
No, I didn't. Because it was the follow through of that that I thought, if you slow it down and you isolate that and you play it out of context, you'd say, oh, well, he's going to get 5 weeks for that.
Yep.
But it was a follow through. Like, he went for the ball.
Yeah. I've given up trying to work out.
Did you think he was in trouble?
Yeah. I thought he'd get a week or two.
Because of the way it looked after the slow-mo?
Yeah, I thought he left it hanging out there. That was my take on it.
Right.
Mind you, I've got no idea how they work these days. So I thought Tom Lynch should have been suspended through the year, and he never did. I thought Dangerfield should have got a week for that or two. I thought it was careless. I thought he left it out for a man that's got cat-like reflexes. He could have tucked it in, but didn't. I didn't mind it, by the way. It's a grand final, and you know, all that sort of stuff. I hated the fact that Nick Vlosten got knocked out. Let's be really clear about that. But I thought Danger was lucky not to be spending a week or two on the sideline.
Would you have played him a little bit differently, Danger? I thought in that third quarter, when they started to lose a bit of the grip and power around the ball, I thought at that stage, because he'd been frozen out of the game and hadn't been down there in the forward line, I thought they might have put him onto the ball a bit earlier than what they did.
I think that's absolutely reasonable. Maybe the thinking was just hold our nerve, and let's get it inside 50, and maybe Danger's able to do something. Because Tom Hawkins was not out. I thought Tom was pretty disappointing. I didn't think he had an impact on the game, and there was a pivotal moment when Preston kicks the first goal of the last quarter to go out to 8 points. Mm. And it was right then, it was a breaking point, because they'd already kicked five of the last six goals. They won a clearance. Dangerfield gets a free kick. They get the clearance. Hawkins does some great body work on Asprey, flips him around, and drops a chest mark.
Mm.
Drops the chest mark from 25 metres out directly in front. And they only kicked two goals in the second half. So to get looks like that, he kicks that. You know, they go back into the centre. They're 2 points down, game back on. He didn't. And, Dustin then went, Lynch kicks a goal, Martin kicks a goal. What about the Menegola and Sam Simpson? Let's find out how Sam Simpson is. I know that Vlosten was okay. He was at the celebrations. We'll find out how Sammy Simpson is. That mark from Menegola and goal was a moment. That was a big moment. Now, no one will, we'll forget about it quickly, because no one really cares about the runner-up, and that's just the reality of the grand final. But to go back and bang that from 60, what was Tom Stewart doing? Did you see Tom Stewart? Sam Menegola.
Oh, he ran past for the handball.
Yeah, who I would have nearly to kick for my life, Sam Menegola. Yeah. Not only did he run past Tom Stewart, he ran on his left foot.
Yeah, yeah.
He could kick over a jam Tim on his left foot. He thought, oh, I'll slot this from 60 all of a sudden.
I'm not sure that Menegola was ever going to give the ball to him.
Well, nor should he. But that was a terrific, goal. And then, and look at it, we're 14 minutes past in our review. We have spoken about Dusty. Joel Selwood is quoted in the paper saying, in answer to a question, is he unplannable? And he said, maybe. Is he unplannable after Cole Jasny had the match up and just couldn't get it done? He just said he got the moments where he works in a phone box and you can't do anything about it.
We have to say that now, though, don't we? Because how much time did we spend talking about Dusty in the lead up to this game? How many times has it been discussed what he's capable of doing in big games? Everyone goes in with a plan. I mean, there's not a coaching staff in the competition when they're playing against Richmond doesn't have a plan for Dusty. But nobody in these big games has really been able to reduce his effectiveness across four quarters. It's impossible. He's so powerful. He picks up the fly of the ball quickly. His reflexes are cat-like. He just, when he wants to impose, and this is the great players of sport around the world, when they want to impose themselves on a game, they're capable of doing that. You know, you go back, we talked about basketball last week, you know, about how great all the players are that play in the NBA. And then you've got somebody like a LeBron James who can elevate his performance in a game in a moment to a level that nobody else can touch. And that's what Dusty does. And he's done that time and time again.
Snap. It's just like Gary. You run out of things to say about Gary Jr. And how sad was that he hurt his... But I couldn't... Someone asked me on the weekend. I said, no, I can't add anything to what's been said.
No, you can't. But what about this, though? I talked about this with somebody on Saturday. I said, I'll tell you what. If Richmond have the presence of mind to win this grand final and then still think about the appropriate way to send Gary off at the completion of the game, that says to me as much about what they're doing right as anything that Richmond have done over the last 4 years, to have that presence of mind to say, this is Gary's moment. This is the last time this bloke will ever grace a football field. Let's give the moment due justice.
We spoke about it a lot on the coverage. When you have won a premiership, and I wouldn't know this, you're a better place to tell me, when you've won your premiership and you've got a head of steam up for your celebration, and you got your cup and your medals, and it's just your time to just to stop in your tracks and say, just stop and walk over and do that. That was
a remarkable gesture.
Yeah, I mean, Benny Gale, that'd be his, well, I mean, he's got so much to be proud about, but it speaks volumes of that footy club.
But somebody, it's leadership. That's what it's.
Well, it would have been discussed. We discussed it on Saturday morning to say that they would have a contingency in place should they win the premiership because they would want to acknowledge the great little champ.
That's right.
And they go and do it. And
but that also goes to the heart of leadership, though, doesn't it? Within a club, as to actually work out what's important and what's not important.
Spot on whispers. Hey, Jake and Brent and Charlie, we'll get to your calls as we talk and celebrate the champions of the competition, the Richmond Footy Club, who did it in spectacular fashion. 22 points down deep into the second quarter. They flipped it around. They win by 31 points. They've won 3 out of 4, and they are the team of this generation, this most recent generation. The all-new game-changing Kia Sorento has landed. Find out more at kia.com.au. We'll be back with your calls after this.